crazy. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, lay off your rainbow shades. Put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. Movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. We'll make the scene about a man that's sad and lonely, and begging down upon his bended knee. I'll play the part, but I won't need rehearsing. All I'll have to do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. A movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. But then I know that you will plainly see biggest fools ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
The truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on The Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench.
Well, the question is, am I ready? Everything looks okay. Everything's bouncing around. Let me go see if we got sound. Welcome to the shooting bench, hopefully. It is the 17th of September, and it's a Monday. And I just come in flying low here just a couple hours ago. Got back from Colorado. Let me check here and see. We've got things going on. I don't know if we have things going on. I don't see anything happening. Okay. Tebow, thank you, Yakima Glock, Tebow. All right, let's move on. We've got it happening now. Like I said, I just got back from Colorado. We're up there. It's kind of a quick trip. Went up there one day. It's about a 9-hour drive, and then we had 3 days and a night shoot and turn around and come back. So kind of kind of hectic around here, and this is going to be a little bit slow and awkward. I'm going to have to use my mouse on the laptop here. I guess I left the other one in the motel room. I don't know what happened to it. But we'll get through it. It's one of those things, I guess. But I want to spend a little time on this class before we start. Yeah, this is 10 millimeter night. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about here, so we're trying to crowd in a bunch of stuff. Yes, first off, let me check and see. You know, we ain't got very many people in the chat room. I'm gonna look, what's going on here? We've got 9 people in there. What's going on? AZ Bounds with us, and Tinker, and Minnie, and Nan, and Northwest Heavy, Yakima Glock, T-Bow. Just one anonymous. I don't know what's happening here. Wow. Oh, well. Podcast is still going, so. Okay, on this class, it was kind of different. It was a good-sized class. Had a lot of fun. Always do. We had one guy that abandoned ship. Thank you, Nan. Had one guy that abandoned ship after the first day. I guess he had some medical issues or something. It was kind of hot. It was in the 90s, but it wasn't unbearable by any means. But this is maybe a little more than what this particular individual usually does during a day. So he got biggest part of one day of good training in, and then poof, he's gone. Never saw him again. And one thing I learned on this class, I learned actually a lot of things on this class, but one of them is I'm going to have to make my paperwork a little more clear. You know, I have a, I don't know what you call it, a welcome sheet kind of deal where an equipment list of everything that you are supposed to bring, everything that is mandatory. Mandatory meaning it's not up for debate, just bring it. And we had a little trouble with people showing up with different types of equipment. So, you know, when I wrote that thing to begin with, it was a lot shorter than it is now. I said, you know, bring this kind of holster and blah, blah, blah. And then more than once, you know, three times, had some ladies show up with their gun ready for the concealed carry class, and they had the right holster, and they're holding it in their hand, and no belt. And they told me, well, you didn't say bring a belt. Alrighty then, okay. I know what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to spell it out. To put it, you know, I don't know how clear I'm going to have to make it, but I'm going to make sure that everybody understands that you have this particular type of stuff to bring. And I had to put belt, and I already changed all that. That thing's a page and a half now. It started out being about 3/4 of a page. So when I get done, it's going to be probably 3 pages. I'm going to have to get a little more specific about what mandatory means and what time we start. And if you don't hear on time, then, you know, you're going to be out of luck. So anyway, we got through all that. Once we got going, they're good guys. I mean, I had no belt. We had a good time with these guys there. We didn't have any trouble with them other than, you know, being on time and not having the right equipment and stuff, which was kind of a pain in the neck. But they were all very, very friendly and eager to learn and all that. It was fun. But as I told you Friday night when AZ Bound was with me, these kids of his were just amazing. They, you know, one of them 9, one of them 12, and I'll be damned, they were just, they were like little, they looked like my son out there. You know, they did everything exactly as they were told. The little 9-year-old boy never did act much like a 9-year-old boy. You know, there wasn't any crying and whining. His mom had to holler at him, get him up from playing in the dirt once in a while. You know, that's the closest thing he ever come to being a 9-year-old boy. He did everything just exactly as he was supposed to. He learned to, you know, to clear his own malfunctions and to, you know, load and unload and shoot and move. And it just, the whole 9 yards, he didn't skip anything.
and the girl was just, everything was just right by the numbers. She had no confusion hardly at all with anything. A couple of things I had to explain to her, but that's to be expected. There were things I had to explain several times to some of the adults. And they did just a marvelous job. I've got some video of them. I was most impressed. I wouldn't have minded if the whole class would have been 9-12-year-old kids if they'd have been like those two. But hopefully the guys that took the class are, I guess they're talking it up to their family and friends and stuff, and looks like we may be going back up there again sometime early in the spring. So if you've got a notion to go to Colorado and take a class, we'll start saving your pennies, and we'll see if we can make that happen. It sounds good. But I had a good place to shoot. It was a little dusty. You know, you drop your magazines and stuff, you kind of clean them up. But that was nothing. That happens often. That's not a problem at all. I think I may have told you Friday, one of the little boy had a little Browning, a little 80% big 1911. And it run better than that. Another guy had a 1911. It jammed about 30 times over and over and over and over. It took it apart and lubed it twice. And just never did run right. But that little Browning 1911, a little bitty cute little thing. It was just a little bigger than a Glock 43. And all the same controls. Everything is just exactly as a full-scale 1911, except it worked better. He had, I think, 3 malfunctions, pretty minor. He took care of him himself and got his gun back in action, and didn't have any issues. He didn't hold us up any at all. The other guy had tried 3 different guns, and the only one he didn't have any trouble with was the Glock. And he shot for a little while, and the guy that offered him Glock said, "You must want to finish the class with the Glock." No. No, he was bound, determined to finish it with a damn 9mm at the 1911. So we finally got through it, but it was kind of aggravating. But like I said, nice guys, had fun, and I fully expect that we'll have one or two of them back. One guy had to leave early on Friday because of babysitter problems, and that was too bad. He was really getting into it and having a good time. So, but. You know, it was altogether, it was a neat class. They AZ Bound and his wife were tremendous hosts, did a great job of having everything ready for me and target stands and everything. I couldn't have asked for better host. So I look forward to going up there again. It was a pleasure. You know. All right. Got all that out of the way. Let's see, I don't think there was anything else. There may have been some other things. Oh, man, there was a little trigger finger problem that we had one guy there. Well, two of them, actually. That was kind of aggravating also. But that's just one of those things. It just happens. How many times did I say get your finger off the trigger? I'm thinking probably around 400. Or 900 or something like that. It was like every 4 minutes or 30 seconds or something. It was a lot. And the guy was getting mad at his own self because he couldn't remember. He kept cussing and saying, yeah, and it wasn't like he was, oh, it's no big deal. He was trying. He just could not keep his finger off the trigger. So, and that's one thing, AZ Bound, if you were wondering, that's why we never did 360-degree scans. That's why I never got them into the Sewell stuff, because those two guys just weren't ready. So maybe we can catch that next time. But I just didn't think they were ready for that, if you were wondering. Okay. Now, I was hoping that I would have a little more time to put some stuff together here for this 10mm stuff. But there was, we talked about the the guy in New Mexico that shot the bear with the 10 millimeter. And I'm going to go over here to Facebook, and I want to try to find a discussion we were having. I think I can remember everything pretty well. Maybe I don't need to go find it. But, the guy was carrying a 10 millimeter when the big black bear attacked him. It was a 400-some-odd pound bear. And he shot point blank. Actually, the bear was running towards him, and he shot, I don't remember how many times it was. And there was once that he actually got the barrel right up into the bear's neck and pulled the trigger. And that helped, but it didn't do exactly what he needed him to do. And now at the end of the article, the guy must have been pretty knowledgeable about what he was doing, because at the end of the article, he said the same thing I said. If you're going to hunt bears with a 10 millimeter, I have no problem with that, but use the right bullet. He was using critical defense stuff, and it just was not get deep enough. And I've said that with, you don't hunt bears or elephants or rhinoceros or something with easily expandable rounds. They've got to get deep. They've got to get into the vitals or into smash bone or whatever. And that's just not going to happen with things like critical defense. The one hollow point that I have used that I thought worked pretty dang good, and that was also a 10 millimeter, and that was that little deer I killed up in La Plata at 112 yards. And that Hornady XTP, I think it is kind of a good compromise there for hunting, because it penetrates faster than it expands. I didn't like it for self-defense because I think it didn't expand fast enough. But on that little deer, it went in and come out the other side about probably a 2-inch or so exit wound on the other side. So it got deep, expanded some, and went completely through the deer. It went through both lungs and come out about a 2-2.5-inch hole on the other side. So it did a really, really good job. I was real happy with it. And I've loaded up a bunch of them since then, but strictly for hunting, not for self-defense. The critical duty and some of these other ones are better for self-defense purposes. But I don't know if we want to go through all of the, I keep reaching for my mouse and it's not there. I don't know if we want to go through the whole history and everything of the 10 millimeter. We've done that before. But let me scroll this thing down here and see where we're at. There it is. All right, got it. Okay. But I posted the article that I wrote two or three different times about using a 10 millimeter for bear. One guy got on that discussion on Facebook, and he said, oh, 44 Magnum would have been a whole lot better. Just wasn't enough gun. And I said, no, it wasn't enough bullet. He had the wrong ammunition. He even admitted he had the wrong ammunition. It don't matter how big the gun is. If you don't have the right ammunition for the job, whether it's, mass-grade ammunition for competition or soft points for deer and elk or hollow points for self-defense or, whatever it may be, there are bullets for every occasion, and they're not all the same. They're not multi-purpose they are to some extent, but not completely. So I said he said the 44 Magnum has heavier bullets. And I said, well, that's a big blanket statement there, you know, that's not necessarily so. There are heavier bullets available, but just because it's a 44 Magnum doesn't mean that the bullets are automatically heavier. There are 200 grain bullets available for the 10 millimeter. There are 180 grain bullets available for the 44 Magnum. So, and the velocity is, velocity for the 44 is quite a bit more than the 10 millimeter, but, especially if you were comparing 200 grain, 180 grain bullets. But the point was the size of the bullet, not the speed. And, you know, you have to factor all of these things in there. It's not a great big fat bullet going 50 feet a second. It's probably not going to do the job like you'd like for it to. And a little bitty, skinny, light bullet going 900 million miles an hour may not do exactly the job you want it to do either. That bullet may do a great job, providing it's going at the velocity that it needs to function properly. And so he finally argued with me, kept arguing with me. He never would concede, and I wouldn't either. So he just kind of walked off and left it. But as we, you know, and Doc agreed with me the other night, we were talking about the 10 millimeter. And if you're going to buy a 10 millimeter and not reload for it, don't waste your money. Well, that's not entirely true. There's two companies out there that make good ammo for the 10 millimeter, but criminy, it's expensive. If you're not going to reload, you'd probably be better off just sticking with the 40. The standard 40 Smith & Wesson out of something like a Glock 35 or a Glock 24 is just about the same as a 10 millimeter out of a 5-inch barrel, a factory 10 millimeter out of a 5-inch barrel. Except for buffalo bore and double tap. Buffalo bore and double tap load some up that's the ballistic twin of the ones that I load. And those rounds are very much the equivalent or very, very close to it of a 41 Magnum of the same bullet weight. But if you just go buy a box of 10 millimeters off the shelf at Walmart and shoot them over a chronograph, you're going to be woefully disappointed. You're really going to be surprised, and you're really going to be taken back by what they are not, because they are not a 40 Smith & Wesson Magnum until you hand load for them. But you can hand load and get 180 grain bullets to go 1,300 feet a second, and that's very much a in Magnum territory. It smokes the hell out of the 357 Magnum, just kills it. And nipping right at the heels, just biting right at the very back of the 41 Magnum, not quite up where the 44 is, but it's definitely in Magnum territory. And it'll do pretty much anything in North America you think you're man enough to do, or woman enough, as the case may be. I'd like to say also how well AZ Bound's wife did out there. We left her out of all this. That's quite a couple those two are. They're very much on the same sheet of music as far as preparedness and training and everything, and it's really, really refreshing to be with them and listen to them interact, you know, and talking about different types of guns. And I'm going through some stuff there and showing AZ Bound how, to do some stuff on his Glock and everything. And she just scooted her chair right over there and it was all, and the kids were too. Of course, the boy was pretty well shot. He went to bed. He crapped out there not too long after we got home. And I don't blame him. He'd had a hard weekend for a 9-year-old kid. But anyway, the rest of them were pretty involved with that Glock work. It's not just like she run off and was reading a magazine or watching a show or cooking whatever she cooks. She was very much interested in the mechanics of that and wanted to learn how to do all that. So it was a lot of fun.
Let's see, mountain shooter, if you got a 10 millimeter that's a boat anchor and so heavy, well, what you need to do is trade it off and get you a Glock 20. And then you can, you won't have to say that anymore. That's right, Copper, that's what I was saying. If you're going to shoot 10 millimeter, you have to reload for it. You got to, like I said, you can buy it. If you're rich enough, you can buy that stuff from Buffalo Bore and Double Tap, but you really need to load for it. You load that thing up, and that Glock 20 will stand some pretty damn heavy loads. And well, I remember when I first came back from Georgia and got the store started there in Farmington and all that, and I hadn't loaded anything for quite a while. I'd been, on the road and moving and doing stuff, and I just hadn't set up and loaded, especially for the 10 millimeter, for quite some time. And like an idiot, I took my... I was right as far as remembering what the load was supposed to be. What I was wrong about was how I set the scale. I was looking to put 10.3 grains of blue dot in this 10 millimeter. And I set the scale wrong and set it at 13 grains. Son, if you don't think that one was a Magnum, you are sadly mistaken. It had Magnum written all over it when you pulled the trigger. I was, the sound as it bounced off the bad toolbox of my truck, and I said, boy, this one's rich. And got to mess with it. It's a lot more recoil than you. I said, geez, huh? And shot, half a dozen of them there, and pretty soon something rattled out on the tailgate there, and I went over and looked, and it was a primer. And I said, well, maybe we ought to take a look here and see what's going on. So it had blown a primer out, kicked the shell out, and when the slide went home, when it went back forward, it catapulted the primer out through the barrel and landed on the tailgate. I said, okay, Louis, just stop this right here, right now, and see what's going on. So I went back to the shop and figured out that I was putting 10.3 of blue dots, pretty stiff load anyway. And I was putting almost 3 grains more than that in that case. It was, it was a handful. But the thing is, what the reason for me telling that story is that the gun held up. I mean, that we had no cracks, no loosening anything. I mean, it probably wouldn't have, after, whatever, 100 rounds or, 50 rounds or 1,000 rounds. I don't know when it would have give up, but I'm sure it would have give up sooner or later. That was pretty stiff. But it shot it fine. It was a handful. And so that was, that taught me to be, be extra careful. It didn't teach me to be extra careful. I've always been extra careful. I was just one of those, cranio-rectal inversion moments when I just wasn't paying attention, and I could have blown that thing up. But that was, when was that? That was 13 years ago, I guess, something like that. Mountain Shooter has Blue Dot. Blue Dot's my absolute favorite 10 millimeter powder. There's also another one by Ramshot, and it was called True Blue, and that's another one that works really well. It's real similar to Blue Dot, and that's a great powder for the 10 millimeter. So, I get the sentiment on the, that it wouldn't be your first choice, especially for big bears. But I'll tell you, it is my first choice. It would be my first choice for numerous reasons. I don't know if you ever read that article that I
put out there about the 10 millimeter and Big Bears. But one thing for sure is that the familiarization of the gun is an asset. As I said in that article, when you've got something that'll, you know, with breath that'll drop your socks in cotton puddles around your ankles and big mouth full of teeth and all that, and you've got up close range, you better be able to operate that gun out of sheer instinct, because there ain't going to be any fine motor skills happening there. If there's something that's, and this is the exact reason why there has been many instances of people shooting a double action with only 5 rounds and then sit there and keep clicking the trigger until somebody stops them. They just keep pulling the trigger. And there was an instance of one guy that shot a double action all the time, except for the time that he went bear hunting. And he took a double action that time, or took a single action that time, went bear hunting with it. And when he was almost attacked by the bear, he couldn't make the gun fire. He squeezed that trigger until he was squeezing blood out of it, and he never did get it to shoot. And his guide finally wound up killing the bear because of muscle memory, because he didn't remember, you know, couldn't put two and two together under those kind of circumstances. So that's one of the reasons why I would stick with the Glock. And, there's been grizzly bears killed with many, many dozens of rounds that were less powerful than the 10 millimeter. Just because it's a handgun doesn't mean it won't work for grizzly bear. What matters is you have to hit them in the right place and you have to have good ammunition. There's been at least three that I'm aware of that were of grizzly bears that were killed with 10 millimeters. There's been one killed with a 9 millimeter that I know of, maybe two. There's been two that I know of killed with 22s. So a 10 millimeter will damn sure do the job. Now, if I've got 15 rounds of 200 grain bullets, I've got 3,000 grains of lead that I can unload in, you know, second and a half, 2 seconds, whatever it is. 3,000 grains with a gun that I am intimately familiar with compared to a 300 grain 5-shot revolver, we're looking at 15 and half of the overall bullet weight. Now, of course, people are going to argue that the bullet is more powerful and will get deeper. Not necessarily. Number one, again, depends on what kind of ammo you're using. If you're using good flat point full metal jackets on the 10 millimeter or wide flat nose hard cast, you're going to get just about as deep or deep enough with that one, with that 3,000 grains of lead compared to 1,500 grains of lead. Now, if that 1,500 grains of lead doesn't do it, now under that kind of stress, we're probably looking at a 4, 5, 6, maybe even 10 second reload. Standing out on the range, okay, I get it. I know you can do it in 3 seconds. Okay, great. How fast can you do it when that grizzly is right there? If my 3,000 grains of lead doesn't get it, I have a reload procedure that I am intimately familiar with. I've done it many, many, many hundreds, thousands of times. Even under stress, I have a pretty good feeling that I could probably make that reload happen in a relatively quick time. Probably 2 seconds or so. Certainly faster than I could do a revolver. So that's my line of thinking. That's how I feel like I could justify using a. Now, I wouldn't use a a Smith & Wesson or a 1911 10mm or something, because then I take away the familiar. Even if the gun worked and I liked it, I still take away that what I consider highly critical familiarization of the weapon. And there goes my fast reload. There goes, you know, maybe not remember to take the safety off or whatever the case may be. I don't think that would be conducive to helping me get through this. And the same thing for, you know, for the any of the revolvers. And if there hadn't been so many of them already killed with 10 millimeters, I mean, it, we know it can be done. We've got evidence of it happening. One of them took, I believe it was 4 shots. I think the one that the guy shot in his house that was in the hallway, I think it took 4 shots. And I'll have to look that story up. I think when they done the autopsy, they found out that 2 of the 4 or 3 of the 4 would have been killing shots. So it was, I don't remember what it was. Something like that. It didn't. There was not 3 misses and 1 good shot. Let's put it that way. So, hopefully, I'll never have to find out. There's not a whole lot of grizzly bears in Arizona anymore. So, I probably now, as far as black bear goes, I'm absolutely fine with 10 millimeter for black bear. Matter of fact, I killed black bear with 22 Magnum. Y'all know that. You were with me the night I did it. So I'm pretty sure a 10 millimeter will do it. All right, let's see if I can figure this out here without my mouse. It's a little bit more awkward, but I'll get it. We're going to take a quick little break here. There we go.
Coming between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out of Santa Claus with the radio blasting and the birds all gone. There's a trap with my head down the town, but no local yoga's gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger around, and we're coming 1,000 miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
I'd love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop. Stumble in a restaurant. Wonder why I don't stop. Well, I gotta keep rocking while
I've held it all in with. God knows I've tried. But it's an awful way in a country boy's life. Look in the mirror in total surprise at the hair on my shoulder, the age in my eyes. Amanda, light of my life, fate should have made you a gentleman's wife. Amanda, the light of my life. Fate should have made you a gentleman's wife. It's a measure of people who don't understand the pleasures of life in a hillbilly band. I got my first guitar when I was 14. Well, I finally made 40, still wearing jeans. Light of my life, fate should have made a gentleman's wife. Amanda, light of my life, fate should have made a gentleman's wife.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
All right, we're back. Talking about grizzly bears and 10 millimeters here a little bit. You know, during the break, I went over here and checked on some stuff here, and I found one of the stories. And about Alaskan hiker stops charging brown bear with 10 millimeter handgun. Let's see here. It says in here that 10 millimeter is increasingly popular as a wilderness defense gun in Alaska. Fully loaded, it's as light and a bit more powerful than a loaded small frame 357 Magnum. The Glock 20 holds 15 rounds versus 5 or 6 for a 44 or 41 Magnum revolver. In this case, near Homer, Alaska, on the Kenai Peninsula, it did the job. From the newspaper there, a Homer man shot and killed a charging sow brown bear at Humpy Creek last Friday. Kim Woodman, 57, shot the bear five times with a 10mm handgun before the bear fell about 6 feet from him. While backing away from the sow, Woodman... Oh, I remember this. Yeah, Woodman fell down and accidentally shot himself in the left foot. Well, that's why AZ bound. Remember I told you guys about backing up? There you go. Let's see. Park ranger went to the scene, found the sow died from two gunshot wounds, one below the right eye and one in the chest. Backing away from the attacking animal, person is natural, can be effective, but with eyes, let's see. Right, when you're backing away from an 800-pound bear charging you at close range, you're firing a 10mm handgun. You trip, you stay focused on the threat, firing as you go down. As you press the trigger, your foot flies up into the line of fire as your back goes to the ground, a case where over-penetration could work to your ultimate advantage. And, you know, the first comment on this story said maybe he wouldn't have shot himself while falling if he was using a revolver. Maybe. Maybe he would have been eaten if he was using a revolver, too. I'll fall down and shoot myself in the foot any time, as opposed to being eaten by a grizzly bear. But my other issue with the big revolvers,
and I've always said, and I agree with you, Copper, if I was hunting big bear, absolutely I would use, I'm talking about shooting one that's you know, 14 inches away. I'm not, if he's out there at a 50 yards or 100 yards or something like that, absolutely I would rather have a 460 Smith & Wesson, 454, a heavy loaded 44 Magnum, something like that. But I think that the circumstances between the two is vastly different in favor of a lighter, faster handling gun. Now, when you start shooting a 460 Smith & Wesson Magnum with one hand because of circumstances in a self-defense situation, you can't convince me that you're going to put five shots effectively on that bear under those conditions with that kind of gun. Will it do the job if you can do it? Absolutely. It's not a matter of whether the gun can do it. It's a matter of whether you can do it. If I was hunting, I would definitely use the big revolvers. And I would have a Glock as a backup. That would be the one I carried on my hip. It would be a totally, totally different thing. But anyway, I found several stories. There's a lot of discussion out there in different forums and stuff about using 10 millimeter for big bears. And one of the first things that it talks about here, let's look at the first gun. It's talking about the 10 best bear defense guns when you're out in the woods. And the first one that it talks about is the Ruger Red Hawk Alaskan. And it's available in 44 Magnum, 454, 480 Ruger. And, okay. Now, this is a monster, especially in the 454 or the 480. Even a 44 Magnum, you're talking about something with a 2.5-inch barrel. Now, this is where my argument, where Doc and I were talking the other night, yeah, the 10mm doesn't do what the 44 Magnum will do. I bet it will with a 2.5-inch barrel. You're going to lose a lot of poop out of that thing with a 2.5-inch barrel, so I'm not convinced. I'd have to run some numbers here and see, but I'm not convinced that 44 is going to outdo the 10mm. You know, it's got weight and diameter in its favor, but it sure doesn't have velocity anymore, not with that. I would say you need to stick with an absolute minimum of a 4-inch barrel. You know, you still need something that's mobile and, you know, easy to maneuver in heavy brush and stuff. And a big, heavy, long-barreled hunting-type revolver is not going to be where it's at. But it gets on down here, and there's even a picture. Yeah, there's a picture of a 10mm of a Glock 20. It says, some people consider it almost sacrilegious to recommend a semi-automatic handgun, a plastic semi-automatic handgun chambered in 10mm as a bear defense gun. However, the 10mm is no slouch. If you place your shots properly, it'll do the trick. The Glock 20 has several big advantages that make it a great bear defense gun. It's accurate. It gives the shooter the ability to take rapid follow-up shots. It has a large magazine. It's incredibly reliable and is easy to shoot and easy to carry. That being said, there are better choices for those who live around lots of grizzly and brown bears. However, the Glock 20 is a very underrated self-defense gun in bear country. So there you have it, for whatever that's worth to you. But let's see. The Mountain Shooter's putting some numbers on here. 8 grains of, what is that? I guess Winchester Super Field.
with 180 grand, books at 1,100 feet a second. I've got, you know, I wish I'd have been here, and I don't know if I could even find them, but I still have the tickets for a lot of the tickets. You know what? I do have, by golly, stand by. I'm going to make you listen to a song. And I'm going to go, I know where that velocity stuff is at. So if you'll stay with me just a minute, we'll talk velocity here in 10 millimeters. So let's do, let's do this right here. And find a song about 2 minutes long here. Yeah, this will do. All right, I'll be back in a minute. I think I've found this where I'd clocked some of that. Let's see here. I looked at, I had 6-inch hunt and barrel in one of them. I clocked two or three different bullet barrel lengths. And let's see, at 180 grain bullets, I was getting a little over 1,300. See, the accuracy and velocity claims out of the 6-inch hunting barrel are grossly overrated. Wish I could find those tickets for you. Okay, the first one was a Glock stock barrel, and this was 180 grain Remington UMC ammo out of the stock barrel. That was 1,043 feet per second. The next one was a KKM 45-10mm conversion, 1,037 feet a second. The last one was a 6-inch KKM hunting barrel at 1,063. So you see out of a stock 5-inch barrel and the conversion barrel and the hunting barrel, there was exactly 20 feet difference. Well, no, it wasn't either. It was 26 feet difference in the three of them there. So that didn't show what my hand loads would do. That was a comparison of what the different barrel lengths would do. Let's see if I can find... I know that I've got, let's see, I have 200 grain hand loads, protection, I've got over 1,200, it didn't say how much over 1,200, I got over 1,200 out of 200 grain bullets, and a little over 1,300 out of 180s. It doesn't have the exact number there. I think I know where those tickets might be. I might be able to go find those and just briefly go through those Wednesday, if I can find them. But anyway, gives you an idea anyhow. But if you, those, that was Remington UMC, that was standard factory 10mm ammo, 1,043 feet a second. I could get that out of my, I was getting right at 1,000 out of my Glock 23 with 40 Smith & Wesson in it with my hand loads. So you gain nothing if you're not going to hand load or buy buffalo bore or double tap ammo. Buying a 10 millimeter is strictly bragging rights. You know, I got a 10 millimeter. Don't ever let anybody put your 10 millimeter and their 40 across a chronograph. You may be very disappointed. It was a great idea, but they really neutered it and completely ruined the round, you know, by not loading that thing up to what its potential is. The Glock 20 will handle, I don't know how many, I've shot hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of heavy hand loads through that 20, and no indication whatsoever that it's ever been, no pressure signs on the ammo, on the brass or anything, the primers. It all looks real good, so. Okay, well, evidently I'm not going to be able to get to all my other stories I wanted to get to tonight. And I've just been awake and moving just about as long as I want to be. So I'm thinking I'm going to start easing towards the door here pretty quick. Wednesday, if I can find those tickets, we'll briefly talk about that. But Wednesday, I've got a lot of stuff I want to talk about. I wanted to hit on tonight, but I know I promised you guys a little bit of 10 millimeter talk, so I thought I'd do that first. And then we'll crowd as much stuff into Wednesday night show as we possibly can here. So let me see if I can get things running. I don't have any classes scheduled here locally right now for the immediate future, although we do have two tentative classes. Actually, I do. I have a communications class coming up on the 29th here for a specific group of people. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's about these radios and stuff. And then I've got two concealed carry classes for two different groups of people coming up here probably in the next 30 days. So I'll let you know when they come up. One of them will be a secret squirrel class and nobody else is invited. The other one, if you're local and you want to get in on that, then you'll be able to. So, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we go. Uh-oh. That didn't work. What did I do wrong here? Yeah, that worked better. Okay, I'm going to ease on out of here, and we'll see you guys Wednesday night. And I thank you for joining me, and I thank you for sticking with me when I'm late and everything. Wasn't too late, but if I'm any late, that kind of ticks me off. All right, see you guys Wednesday night. Thank you.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.